I just have one question. When are you moving to Missouri?
Oh, I don't know if I can do that. But I do like when Brett Allen Winters is on, he says Missouri Liberty Radio.
Oh, Missouri? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
that's how we're supposed to say it. But I grew up on the West Coast, so I'm still kind of Yankified.
Where'd you grow up, Eric?
I was born in Portland, or actually south of Portland, down the Willamette Valley.
Yeah. Yep. I was born in Illinois, over in Mount Vernon, Illinois. It's just a little ways east of St. Louis, a little bit east and south, I think a little bit south as well, down there by, there's several small towns down there, Centralia, Illinois, Salem, Illinois, there's Mount Vernon, there's Lawrenceville, there's a bunch of little towns down in there, Mount Vernon being bigger than a lot of the other ones, but anyway, that's where I was born. And you couldn't pay me to go back over there and live now. Yeah. No, even if somebody said, hey, we'll give you a house free of charge, totally tax-free, and I still wouldn't move over there.
No.
It's that bad. So, well,
yeah.
I'll take that back. Mount Vernon isn't bad, but they got the yoke of Chicago hanging around their neck, and that makes everything bad in the state of Illinois, because even though the capital is in Springfield, Illinois, Chicago and Cook County seem to rule the roost over there.
Yeah, Illinois is just like Oregon and Washington and California.
Yep, sure is. You know, like I say, any of these states that have a lot of big metropolises, and of course Illinois, its biggest one is Chicago, you got a few other, they're not major cities, but they're fairly good size. Rockford, Illinois. Hello there.
Yeah, Sam.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Gary.
Hey, Gary, welcome.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Good. You're good and clear.
Good. Yeah, we got Eric's on the line. Eric, he's the one that was on the show the other night that I interviewed. Eric, this is Gary Ridenour. Gary, welcome to the conference call. And Eric, there's Gary. And then we also have a friend of mine, Marty, from out in Oakland, California, who's on here so far.
All right. Yeah. Hello, Eric and Marty. Good
Hello, evening. Gary.
All right, and there's another country. Who do we have now?
Hi, it's Gretchen.
Hey, Gretchen, I knew you'd show up eventually. I got that email over to you just in time.
Thank you.
Oh, you bet. More than happy to. We can't have one of the participants missing now, can we?
No.
No, we can't do that. Anyway, we have you. We have... Eric, who is the one who we interviewed, Eric Beimond, who is the one we interviewed on the show Wednesday night. Eric, say hello to Gretchen. There's Gretchen Garrity.
Good evening, Gretchen.
Good evening, Eric. Nice to meet you.
And we have, of course, Gary's up here. Gary Ryden, he's up here.
Hello, Gretchen.
Hi, Gary.
And then we have Marty from Oakland, California, who's a friend of mine. He's been, he's been tracking what we've been doing with Missouri Liberty Radio and everything else since 2009. There's Trish, I think. Let me see. Trish? Yeah, what, you're trying to get in? All right, hang
Hello,
on.
Hello, Gretchen.
Make this work.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
All right, I'll tell you what, Trish. Why don't you try... how can I make this work? Okay. Same problem I always have with this. All right. Anyway, yeah, I've got to figure out how to get her on this call. I actually know how she could do it. She could dial in on one of the other extensions and dial the conference bridge number, but that would be the way she'd have to do it. I tell you, I like this new system that we have for putting phone calls on the air, but it's very unhandy. And if I got to put her through from upstairs, it's doubly unhandy. So, I'm still trying to figure out how to bridge that gap. But anyway, am I loud enough, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I won't.
Yeah, you sound great.
Okay. I won't screw around with nothing then. Let me think. I'm afraid what I'm going to wind up doing if I'm not careful. See, last time I tried this during the show the other day, I lost the conference call. But where's an extra phone when you need one? But anyway, so let's see if hopefully we'll hear from Cindy tonight. She was supposed to be on here. Otherwise, we can... Hello there.
Hello.
There. Just was mentioning, I said, we just got to get Cindy on board tonight, and there you are. So very good. So far, we have Gretchen's on here. Gretchen Garrity's on here.
Hi, Gretchen.
Okay. Hi, Gretchen.
And
how
then,
are you doing?
Doing pretty good. Got a toothache, but that, other than that, I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
Okay.
Good deal.
We have Gary. Gary Ridenour is up here. Gary is here. And
hello, Cindy. Voodoo.
Hi, Gary.
Yep. And there's Marty from out there in Oakland, California, a friend of mine that's we've been friends for ever since about 2009. He wanted to join the call, so Marty, say hello to Cindy.
Yeah, hello, Cindy.
Hello, Marty.
Hello.
I'm Marty.
Yep. All right. Well, it looks like we got the core group here. And Eric, this is Cindy that just checked in. She's the one that's the herbalist that I was telling you about. And so anyway, it looks like we're all here. So as far as I'm concerned, Eric, why don't I just go ahead and let you get started. Anybody want to ask any questions, they can. We can... basically, what I want to do here is allow us to go in deeper dive into the stuff we were talking about on this show that we normally can't just get into. So first of all, I want to state that anybody on this call, you understand that the information presented here, you're here of your own validity. That way we just make sure we cover all the bases in case there's any stragglers anywhere. And the information, however you use the information in your own research, is up to you. And none of us on this call are responsible. So please understand that. As long as you understand that, we are good. So having said that, Eric, you decide where you want to go, and we'll just take it from here.
Okay. Well, yes, I'd like to start by kind of piggybacking on what you just said. You know, we now know that the... Or at least we have a pretty good idea that the medical establishment in this country is at very best not totally honest, and it's probably much worse than that. And so finding ways to be or to maintain your health without the allopathic world at least is something I believe is important. And thanks to the insanity that swirled around during the COVID era, we've learned some things about elements like ivermectin. And I think that's great news that ivermectin does a lot of the things that it does, including to battle cancer. But I also think that something that's less known but more powerful is fenbendazole. And as I think we said the other night, there are a lot of things in God's creation that he built in, if you will, he put here that will help us maintain health. If the lady you mentioned, is it Gretchen? Or one of the ladies, yeah. Anyway, is a herbalist or something along those
lines. That's Cindy.
Okay, Cindy. Well, yeah.
And by the way, before you go on, I'm going to run upstairs real quick and try to get Trish in on the conference. So if you hear a beep in a minute, that'll be her coming in.
Okay. Well, okay. So obviously, Cindy is already, you know, knowledgeable about some of those things, maybe a lot of them. But I just have come to believe that fenbendazole is a very underappreciated and very powerful part of our arsenal in dealing with cancer. So, you know, it's kind of become my sideline mission to get that information out to as many people as possible, or even to encourage people that might have heard a little bit about it to learn more about it and spread the word, because it would be wonderful if people of faith and people that are looking for the truth would wake up to the fact that there are things we can do to maintain our health and regain health, and they don't necessarily or won't necessarily come through the medical establishment. So I don't know how much detail you want me to go into, and my wife is here too. My wife, Kathy, she knows more of the details about fenbendazole than I do. So if there are questions that I can't answer, she's here to help too. But I would like to just kind of open it up to questions, because I think we've kind of covered the basics as to what we're talking about.
Okay. I'm going to ask first. I'm Cindy. I've got a dog right now that's stage 4 cancer. I'd like to try this on my dog.
Absolutely.
They've given him basically about two months to live. So we just did surgery on him and had some great big tumors removed, but it's all up in his lymph nodes and everything else. He's an old dog, and I mean, I accept the fact that there's maybe nothing I can do to save him, but he is stage 4. So he's 42 pounds, black and tan coon hound. So I'm wondering what dosage, I mean, just the regular dosage that they put on the package of the Panacare.
This is just my guess, because I'm not, and my wife can kind of back this up or even correct me, but I would up the dosage a little bit above the rate per pound that would be on the package, just because you're dealing with something that's already fairly well entrenched.
Right. Okay. So I'll do like 50 pounds or whatever. And yeah. You're supposed to give it to him for three days.
I'd give it every day. Just have you looked at the protocol that Joe Tippins on his blog or the deeproots@home.com lady has? Because when you're...
No, I haven't looked at anything. All I listened to was, this is new to me. So...
Okay, well, the dosage that you're going to find on the package is just for deworming. It's not for treating a disease like cancer. So, do you have a computer?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, it's my cell phone, but...
Well, I suppose that's probably good enough. I would go on the Joe Tippins blog...
And, how do you spell Tippins?
T-I-P-P-E-N-S.
Okay.
And then there's, I think he's got a section or whatever that's called mycancerstory.rocks.
As in R-O-C-K-S?
Pardon me?
.rocks as in R-O-C-K-S?
Yeah, yep.
Okay. I have found it on mycancerstory.rocks.
Okay, yeah, that's where I would go to learn how they've used fenbendazole to treat already developing cancer. Actually, Joe Tippins had stage four as well. So my recommendation, and again, I'm not a doctor and I'm not a chemist, but I would apply fenbendazole every day for, well, if it were me, I would do it every day until the dog is healthy again. I wouldn't do it on the protocol of deworming, because you're treating something more dangerous than just, you know, worms. So,
right.
Again, goes through the information that's there. And another source you can look at is the deeproots@home.com. And there are lots of links to study on that site. Joe Tippin's fenbendazole protocol is also linked there. And you'll learn a lot more than what you can learn just from the label of the Panacure.
Okay.
The beautiful thing, as far as we've been able to determine, is that there are no side effects. So you're not going to hurt your dog by giving it every day. If all you were dealing with is worms, then probably just doing it as the label says would be good enough. But if you're wanting to attack, an onset of cancer, I would think that the best thing to do would be to stay with it for quite some time until you see a recovery.
Okay.
And
well, like I say, it's worth a shot. That's where I'm looking at it.
Right.
And well, where I'm here, experimental anyway, this will give me, you know, an idea of whether, you know, how to continue to go on with this.
Right. Right. My wife would like to add something.
Yeah, go ahead and put her on.
Hi, everyone.
Hello, hi. Kathy.
Hi, this is Kathy. There is another website that Eric hasn't mentioned that you can all go on. And Cindy, I think this would be particularly helpful. Well, it's for everyone. But the website is called fenbendazole.org. And they have a wonderful Q&A section on there, and it's very well answered. It's active. And I know there are questions and answers on there about people with dogs with cancer. So very interesting reading. If you go to fenbendazole.org, there's lots of very good information. It's strict. That's all they do is talk about fenbendazole, and they're very knowledgeable. So check out the whole website, and then do read their questions and answers. It's interesting. I'm sure you're going to get some good information from them.
I found it.
Yep. Yep. Okay.
Whether you're dealing with a dog or a human being or any animal, this study is very valuable. These websites and all. I think that you'll find that the same principles apply, whether it's an animal or a human. But the dosage rates will probably be somewhat different.
Right.
Cindy,
I'll look in the Q&A for that too. Well, okay.
Kathy says that she's going to do a little research on that site on the Q&A about dogs and see if she can come up with anything different or specific while we're talking.
Nice. So, okay.
I guess
before this conference is over, I've got something for Sam. I've been doing a little research for him.
Oh, thank you.
And I've got a different antibiotic for you.
Okay, good. We'll talk about that here in a bit. Thank you for
Okay.
Looking all that up, and we'll deal with it before the call is done.
All righty.
Trish, are you in here?
Yeah, I'm in here.
Okay, I just wanted to check to make sure everything went good after I connected you, so that's good. Trish is in here, too, now. So.
Hello, Trish.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great.
Good.
Trish is ornery as ever.
I'll throw it back to you, Sam, or anybody else that has any questions. I don't really have a formal presentation other than to just.
Well, I found some very last night, in the middle of the night, a very interesting tweet from William Mackis, I guess. He's a MD.
Yeah.
And they have just published a peer-reviewed ivermectin and fenbendazole protocol for cancer. And it was published on September 19th. And they think that they're hoping that this peer-reviewed paper lays the groundwork for future cancer treatments. And let me see if I can find, I guess he just did. So there is. I sent you those links, Sam.
Yeah.
So they're both tweets from Dr. Mackis, and it might be really helpful because, you know, it's he's been helping a lot of people with this through his different protocols, and it's very exciting. Let's put it that way.
Is his website drwilliammackis.com or something like that?
Let me see. His Twitter is @MackisMD. Let me see. He has a Substack called MackisMD. It's MackisMD.substack.com.
Okay.
And he's been doing this for a good bit. I'm going to go up on his Substack, see how that looks.
Also, Deep Roots at Home. If you do a search on the Deep Roots at Home website, there is an article on there that features him.
Does it? Okay.
It features Dr. Mackis or some things that he's brought up about a buried study that nobody knows about. And it's the article is called Case Studies of Patients Who Cured Stage 4 Cancer.
Yes, yes. I've read several of these.
That's
that
a very
he has.
Good. Yeah.
So, here it is. He has it on there. I hope I can read it because I have just not paid him. But yes, he does. He has it on free at his Substack, and he's got the actual peer-reviewed paper.
Oh, good.
Yes.
That's a good place. Yeah. I thought it was Dr. William Mackis, MD.com.
He might have that, but it's not on his Twitter. He's not sharing that. He's just sharing his Substack.
Yeah, Substack will be good, too.
Yeah. Oh, it's the Journal of Orthomolecular Medicine. And it's titled Targeting the Mitochondrial Stem Cell Connection in Cancer Treatment, a Hybrid Orthomolecular Protocol. And the abstract, let's see, the concept integrates two well-established theories, the cancer stem cell theory and the metabolic theory. And then it goes on to the different protocol that they're using. And so I don't know how many pages. It's not super long. It's very, very heavily footnoted and referenced. So
that's good. That's good.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I think that's exciting. And I think it's Dr. Paul Merrick. He may be one that you're thinking of.
Yeah, we knew about
Merrick
him.
Versus Mackis. Yeah.
They came after him unmercifully for
I came after Dr. Makis, too.
Yeah, for, you know, over the COVID issue, you know, don't touch that third rail, you know.
Exactly. I have a question. So let's say you buy some ivermectin that is for the swine and the cattle, and you're using that for yourself, and I'll just let you know I've been doing that for ever since it first came out, like years now, and we just do it prophylactically, and we've never had any side effects whatsoever from it. We take it orally. We don't inject it. Let's say it goes out of date. Is it still good, or do you have to keep it up to date? You know what I mean? Does it have to have an expiration date? Or like most other meds, will it keep?
Yeah, because I've got the paste.
Yeah, the pony paste, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll interject here as a farmer. I don't believe in the expiration date idea all that much. I think that's just a way to sell more product.
Get you coming back.
For the most part, yeah. I'm not sure that if something's 50 years old, it's probably as effective as if it's new. But, you know, if something's not decades old, I think it still probably maintains a certain amount of, if not, you know, full value.
Okay.
I was just going to say, in other words, I wouldn't throw it away just because it's, you know, 6 or 8 months past its
right
date.
Now, medicines like doxycycline, you want to watch. Because it has a chemical change after it goes out of date.
That's interesting.
But then I don't know. You know, you've heard different things probably, and I don't know. I don't know if it's true. If it's they're trying to get you coming back.
Well, it's like canned goods. You know, they tell you 18 months or whatever, but people have found them years later, and they may have degraded slightly, but overall they're still fine.
Right.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
Yeah, and I would probably imagine that as long as you store it in a cool place, don't store it in a hot place, don't leave it, you know, someplace where it gets real warm.
Right, of course, yeah.
We've been storing ours.
Just like your canning goods, keep them in a good environment, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just saw on Twitter, too, there was another one that ivermectin is really good for treating rosacea.
Oh, wow.
And I can attest to that. Because they already sell that. It's called Sulantra, and it's like 1% ivermectin, and it does work. Now I do Curology because I just have a light case of rosacea, but it, you know, when you start hitting a certain age, it wants to flare up really bad. So.
Yeah,
I've got it real bad on my cheeks, yeah.
Well, guess what? Ivermectin takes care of it. Curology is a company that you can, they do 1.87% ivermectin with a little metronidazole, I think, and in a cream, and it has completely cleared up, you know, and you just get on a monthly protocol and it completely clears it up. So,
Is it?
I tried to put.
Topical
I tried to put,
or
is it what?
Oral.
Is it topical?
No, it's topical.
Oral.
Yeah, it's just topical. But I wouldn't be surprised if the oral would help too. But I don't know. I just have only done the topical, and you know, I didn't want to pay out through the nose for it. so I tried the Pony Paste, but the Pony Paste topically does help some people. It didn't help me, so I found this Curology, which is it's a company, and they will dispense ivermectin in their creams for treating rosacea, and it has worked very, very well for me. So the 1% Sumatra, which is extremely expensive, did not do the trick, but the 1.87, which is what the cattle dewormers are, and I think also the Pony Paste. But like I said, I tried it, the Pony Paste. I watched a gal online with the Pony Paste, and she completely, cleared up her acne just putting the Pony Paste on. And but it didn't do that for me. It did me. It's too much. So I got the Curology.
Gretchen?
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you spell that, Curology?
It's Curology. And it's a company, I wouldn't want to pay, let's just put it this way. I always like to get a deal. Curology is not that great of a deal, but you can also, I believe, get the same thing over the counter. I think you can find it at Walmart for a pretty cheap price. Yeah, in fact, let me look and see. My daughter has found it because she has the same issues, and she doesn't subscribe to Curology anymore. She, I think, just gets it at Walmart. So let me search and see if it's there. The Curology. Oh, they do have it. They have all the they have the spot patches, which are great. They have the cleanser. I'm not seeing the actual ivermectin, though. But they have all the other products that also cost a darn fortune if you're subscribing to Curology. They have everything except the actual ivermectin cream. Wait, they might have it. No, that's a... Let me check. But it is. It's all over on Walmart. So that's good to know. I don't see that it has. It's just the moisturizer and stuff. They don't have the cream with the ivermectin in it. So, but you can get that at on Curology. You have to I guess they have a licensed physician or something there. I can't remember. But they want you to kind of show them the problem on your face, and then they will diagnose that. You send them pictures, and but it's nice to know that they have all the other stuff there on Walmart, so you don't have to do the super expensive other stuff.
I wonder if you can get the Pony Paste in bigger quantities than the syringe.
I don't know.
How do you get yours, Cindy, when you get your Pony Paste?
Well, I bought my Pony Paste back when COVID supposedly started, and I got mine in the tube, and it was at our Orslins, which is now Tractor Supply.
I know.
Oh. Yeah.
So I don't know whether Tractor Supply has it or not, but I bought 4 tubes of it at the time. So
yeah, the Tractor Supply by me quit selling it about a year ago. The Dervay ivermectin.
You know, there's a nice website called Valley Vet. Let me make sure I have that. And that's where I buy it all because, they just get, it's called Valley Vet Supply, and you can get, Panacure, you can get ivermectin, you can get all that. And it's just valleyvet.com, and you can get all that stuff there. There's fenbendazole right there, they're showing. compound capsule for dogs, cats, and horses. You know, the dewormer, the safeguard dewormer for the goats. They have that all there. So, and they, you know, they're really good. They send it out quickly. And if you can't get it locally, they did that when we were in Texas. And people started to buy ivermectin. They went, the local Tractor Supply went berserk. And we had pigs at the time, so we were, you know, we could just go buy all that stuff. But they were like going, you know, I mean, they would actually go, you're not using that for yourself, are you? And I'd say, of course not. And they said, people are actually using this. And they were just not completely...
My attitude, Gretchen, is so what if I was?
Well, it's Numbia, isn't it? It's Numbia.
Yes,
business,
Numbia.
Well, folks, we also need to remember that Tractor Supply just went through a totally woke experience where, where they hired or were hiring based on DEI stuff, and they got singed for that. But you have to understand that the management of almost all these companies is totally leftist, and so they're going to be listening to all the propaganda, and that's always going to be a problem if they start thinking that people are thinking for themselves. That's the last thing these people want. But I did also want to mention, I just talked to my wife about the site that she and other people have recommended to go to buy some of these products at really reasonable rates in different forms, like tablets or powder. The website is quickrxstore.com.
Okay. Thank you. And so you can get them reasonable. And is it U.S. based, or is it?
You know, I don't know where is it based in this country. I'm asking my wife here. She says the powder is always the most reasonable. The tablets aren't as reasonable, but they're more convenient. So some people choose to do that. But
yeah.
Honestly, they
even have metronidazole and amoxicillin, and they have all kinds of stuff. Cephalexin. Yeah, when the whole COVID thing happened, you know, that was a huge wake-up call for us as far as our health. And so we started, you know, doing a lot of research on this stuff, and I was very, very fortunate to get in with a group of people online who were, you know, of like-minded, and you know, we kind of knew very early on, the minute ivermectin was mentioned, we kind of knew it was something, you know. And so I would share that with some of my family members, and they just thought I was insane.
We're all nuts. Don't worry about it.
I don't care what they call me.
Yeah.
See, I have Valley Vet Supply, which we get cats for them too, being on a farm. And I looked up Panacure, and the only Panacure you can get for dogs is the 1 pound package for $564.
Yeah.
Oh, Panacure dewormer for dogs, the granules.
Yeah. So they don't sell it in the small 1 gram packages there. But that's it. I don't know. People are wiping them out of those, and that's all they have. But Cindy, I did find some dog information for you.
Okay.
So if you go on the fenbendazole.org website.
Okay.
They have a really neat dosage calculator there, and this is for people and animals. So on the right-hand side of the page, you'll see a big blue box that says dosage calculator. And if you click that, you can choose whether you're searching for a human or an animal. And then you have choices. Am I only deworming the dog, or does the dog have cancer, or whatever animal it is? And then for humans, it also gives you choices just for prevention, or whether you have active cancer, or whether you've had cancer and now you're just trying to keep it from recurring. So there are nice choices there that you can make. And in your case, of course, you click animal and cancer, and then you put in his weight, which I think you said was 40 pounds. And it will tell you that he needs 444 milligrams, which is double the human dose. And then down below that, they have a lot of some information you should read as to, you know, what things to watch for at the vet, like checking, and this goes for humans too, also checking liver enzymes. But you for your dog, you do it, I think it'll tell you. I think it's 3 days on, 4 days off, and you just keep doing that for a week.
Yes. I just went through, and I kind of acted like I was doing Cindy's dog, and it came right up with the calculator, the instructions, the protocol, the recommendations, everything.
Yeah, that's a really good website. And they get, when people ask questions, they are right there with the answer, and they really seem to know what they're doing.
Great.
Wow. It's wonderful.
There are great people in the world, aren't there?
Yes. Oh, and, you know, I just wanted to mention the interesting thing about Curology. We had no idea it was ivermectin. My daughter had just told me that somebody had told her Curology, you know, just got rid of her acne. And so she said, I'm going to try it, Mom, because she's struggled with acne. And when she got her package in the mail, we looked at the ingredients, and it was 1.87% ivermectin. I was so stunned. You know, they've known about this stuff for so long.
Their secret is out.
Yes.
Well, remember, the reason they didn't want people using ivermectin is not because it was dangerous. It was because they didn't have a patent on it any longer, and they weren't going to make the big money like they were with all these other treatments, and it wasn't going to kill people like they wanted to do. So there's multiple reasons why they tried to blackball and or shame anybody that was using stuff that would, you know, actually heal them.
That's right.
Wasn't ivermectin used for malaria?
Yeah, I believe so.
Hydroxychloroquine was, but I don't know.
Yeah, maybe that's what
ivermectin
it was.
It was for river blindness.
River blindness. I knew they were using it overseas for different stuff, and I'm sitting there going, well, if they're giving it to them, why are they not giving it to us, you know?
Yeah, well, we know why. They hate us. But I'm looking on Twitter right now, and here's the testimonial of a patient with advanced ovarian cancer, and they gave her 3 weeks of a high-dose regimen of ivermectin and mebendazole, which is the human form of benbendazole. And in 3 weeks, her results are her cancer marker drop of 30%.
Wow.
And, So very interesting. And, of course, Dr. Mackis is being attacked very much, so...
Well, of course.
He's in Canada, too. What do you expect there? There are a bunch of socialists there.
There's someone else also you may not be familiar with. Have you heard of a Midwestern doctor?
Yeah, I have.
In fact, I'm following his blog. I got his blog bookmarked, and I go up there. In fact, that was I've been following a lot of stuff from him, and he's great. I don't know who he is, but he is definitely one well-informed guy.
Yeah, good ones.
He's doing a good job. Yeah, he's kind of in league with Paul Merrick. So, yeah, there are some that are collaborating together, and I think they're really, the name of his blog is The Forgotten, is it The Forgotten Side of Medicine?
It's called The Forgotten Side of Medicine.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yes. He's got a Substack I'm looking at right now.
Right. He's exposing DMSO.
Yes.
All the things that they've known about for years that could fix us, but have been suppressed by the FDA because it doesn't make them any money. So check him out. He's a good one.
Yep, I just followed him, so.
Yeah.
And what's his Substack?
He's if you go to Substack.com, then you hit / and then the little at sign, the little A with a in a circle.
Right.
A Midwestern doctor.
Okay.
Or if you just you'll find it just doing a Midwestern doctor, so.
Okay. All I've got's my phone. I don't have a computer. So what it amounts to is I'm going to have to go and look all this stuff up afterwards. So I've got notes going like you wouldn't believe.
Do you all know what his story is? He has a very interesting backstory.
No.
Yeah, if you, in one of his articles, he wrote that he's originally from or was practicing in Everett, Washington. So he's a Pacific Northwest guy. And their hospital in Everett was the hospital to take the first COVID case in the U.S. And, after the thing got rolling, he was one of those minds like Merrick and all of those who started figuring it out right away. And he was very upset by the protocols that were coming down from on high that everyone had to follow and ended up with so many people on the ventilators. And so he was very vocal about it, and he made such a fuss that in the end, they basically forced him out. And this is why he's gone underground and he moved to the Midwest. And he won't say where, and he won't say what his name is, which is, I think that he's under that anonymity. He's being able to really put out some good information, and only those people that worked with him, I guess, would know who he is. So I'm kind of surprised that as much as he has, but there was a very long explanation by him in one of his articles that you may be able to find still. So he's been awake for quite a while. Interesting story.
Thank you. Yeah, I found you can go to MidwesternDoctor.com and also find his Substack that way, just MidwesternDoctor.com.
Okay.
And he's actually really going into all kinds of different treatments, DMSO, and other stuff too for different problems. So that's great.
Yeah, I've been reading him a lot, and but see, that's another one just similar to like the case that we had over here near St. Louis, Dr. Eric Naputi, who is he's a chiropractor, but he has a clinic over there. The mainstay is chiropractic, so there where he is. It's called Naputi Wellness Center. And he was fined by the federal government $4.5 billion for simply recommending vitamin D and zinc on his radio show.
These are two vitamins. I mean, supplement vitamins sold over the counter.
Yep.
Well, I guess I'm going to be enlightening myself because I've always been into the natural herbs. and I've never gotten into this stuff. So I'm going to get an education, I guess. Never too old to learn.
That's right, Cindy. It's not a big deal, and you're never too old to learn.
You know, one thing that makes most of the things we've been talking about tonight compatible is that they're, on most of the things we've talked about, there are no side effects. So it's not like you're using something like chemotherapy or a lot of the things that we know about that have terrible side effects or even are outright poison. Benzol and ivermectin, especially ivermectin, has more than a 50-year track record of harming nobody.
That's right.
I take mine once a week.
Me too.
It doesn't hurt me.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I lost my husband 13 years to cancer. We went through the chemo and the crap, the radiation, the whole works.
They
were killing him.
Yep.
To be honest with you, I've got allergies, excuse me. Anyway, to be honest with you, I would have rather not done any treatments and him live a little less, because the second he did the treatments, he was done.
Yeah. And that's a sad thing.
I mean,
they seem to gloat when people die. They seem to gloat. It's almost like they do a jig when they pass on.
Yeah. I remember the doctor sitting there looking at me. He says, well, I think it's time to go on hospice. And that was his exact attitude. And I just thought, oh, okay. So, well, I don't get it.
The thing that I want to take away from the last 4 years or so of events that we've seen is actually the blessings, if you will, of what we've learned from the COVID experience. I know it was a terrible, terrible time for a lot of people, but it was also a wake-up call for people that are willing to think outside the box. And the number of things that we've learned since that, or the number of people that have started thinking, you know, about other ways to treat diseases, not just the fake virus, but other things, is really a benefit. If you think of it sort of in the bigger picture. So as much as that COVID was a terrible time, there's a lot to be thankful for.
I agree. I agree because
a lot of secrets are loosed.
Yeah.
Yes. And well, you have the vast middle class waking up now. And I think once that's accomplished on a little bit greater level, then I think there's going to be, hopefully, you know, a new, I don't know what you would call it, an awakening or something. I think it'll, especially with RFK Jr. now wanting to make America healthy again, and all these things are, they're working for us, put it that way.
Well, I will tell you a conversation I had with a nurse over at Herman Hospital. I didn't want to mention where she was on the air because I don't want to reveal these people when they do something right. But anyway, I got to talking to one of the nurses over there off the record when I first went in there for all this prostate stuff I've been having. And I got to talking to her. I don't trust the medical establishment as far as I can throw it. If I didn't have to be where I am now, I wouldn't be. And I just told her, I said, I just hate to see the, humanity leave medicine? And she said, well, she says, I got into it because she said, I want to help people. But she said, there's a lot of people that do it just for the paycheck. But she did say in the conversation that there is a time of coming where while there'll be drug kicking and screaming in allopathic medicine, they'll have to start recognizing a lot of these things that we're all talking about now.
Right. Yeah, I think the cat is out of the bag.
Yeah.
Or the horses are out of the barn at this point, and it's just a matter
they're
of
digging
time.
On the pace, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's been, and even my doctor who did the surgery on me, I was talking to him, and I mentioned to him about my functional medicine doctor telling me, you know, when he told me it was time for surgery, that's when I finally had to, you know, finally start figuring out how I was going to get it done. And even the doctor that did my surgery, he even said, he said that functional medicine doctors, you know, they do a lot of good stuff, but when they run out of their options, they know when they're licked. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but remember, now with what we've been talking about tonight, maybe there isn't a time when they're licked, and maybe that's something that the functional medicine people need to learn too, that surgery isn't the only option.
Yeah.
You know, if benbendazole will do the things that there are all these testimonials saying that it will, I don't see surgery as the final, you know, option or solution anymore. I used to not know what, I didn't believe in the medical world, but I didn't know what else to trust or to think about. But now I can see that there are solutions that don't involve, you know, cutting and burning like they always want to steer you towards.
That's right.
One thing about it, Sam had no cancer on his pathology report. No cancer in the prostate.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
So I'm going to do everything I can to make sure it doesn't happen. I mean, I'm already taking on a regular basis. Selenium.
Ivermectin.
Yeah. Well, ivermectin, but selenium is another thing.
Yeah, anything like that. Yeah.
Now the biggest problem I got to do is I'm just impatient enough. I want to get back to normal, but my system is not returning to normal as fast as I'd like. I had to remember I told you the other day.
I'm not one to get to normal right now.
I know. I mentioned the other day about being catheter free. Well, that lasted about 24 hours, and then I had to go back in and get another one.
Okay. I'm going to tell you how to make a tincture.
Okay.
It's a natural antibiotic, and it's strong. It is a strong antibiotic, but it has zero side effects. It will not upset your stomach or anything else.
Okay.
And get you a quart jar and fill it a fourth full of echinacea, and that's E-C-H-I-N-A. C-E,
okay.
Or A, I'm sorry.
Okay.
And honeysuckle buds. You'll put another fourth of honeysuckle buds. You can still get both of those at Mountain Rose.
Okay.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but is the echinacea, is that, is it, just the flower, or?
Yes.
Okay.
Echinacea flower.
Okay.
And then honeysuckle buds. you'll have, when you fill your quart jar, you'll be half full.
Okay.
It'll get you some 80% vodka. So it's going to be the expensive vodka. Fill your jar. Cap your lids. Take it. Let it set. Every other day, shake it for 6 weeks. You're going to take a teaspoon and a half three times a day after 6 weeks. You strain it. Strain it so that way you don't have all the herbs in it and everything.
Right.
But, it'll keep up to 6 years, whether you use it or not at the time. But, you know, you'll take it three times a day for 10 days, and just like you would any other antibiotic, save the rest. I haven't made this one. I've got the other one that I gave you, but I haven't made this one. But this one, I guess, is three times stronger than the other one. But it does not destroy your stomach. It does not destroy all the bad bacteria in your gut, your bad gut. So, anyway, like I said, I know how to look up all this stuff. The stuff we're talking about now is going to be new to me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you for that recipe. I got that down. I grow echinacea, and I have honeysuckle just barely hanging on, but it's probably the wild echinacea. Mine is more of a hybrid.
Yeah, I know. But you can buy it, like I said, the wild in at Mountain Rose. It's fairly cheap. And so is the honeysuckle buds are, too.
Yeah.
And you can buy it in 4 ounces or 6 ounce or 8 ounce bags, and it's not that expensive. And if you're making it in a tincture, you know, you just cap it up and leave it in a dark place. Basically, I've got the dark amber bottles. But
yeah.
If you don't have those, just get a paper sack and put it in the paper sack to store it. It's dark.
Okay.
You know, that's all you need.
Yeah.
And but it's both viral and bacterial.
So it's a quart jar and a fourth a cup of
You fill it. What you're doing is it's 50-50 of echinacea and honeysuckle buds, and you're filling up the jar 50% is what it is.
Okay.
And then you're filling the rest of it up in vodka. Leave about an inch and a half airspace. Put your flat and your ring on it, or your whatever kind of deal you've got in your jar, and it doesn't make any difference what size jar it is. I just use quarts. You can do it with a pint jar. You can do it with a pickle jar. I mean, it doesn't matter as long as it's clean. And then just shake it up, but you got to shake it every other day. That's the trick. And the vodka draws out all the medicines out of the herb. And then I just use a regular strainer, just one of those wire strainers, the mesh kind. I just pour it all out into a bowl, and then I put it back in the jar, the liquid back in the jar. And then, like I said, it's a teaspoon and a half. So even if you take a tablespoon, it's not going to hurt you any. And three times a day, just like you would any other amoxicillin type, you know, antibiotic or whatever. So three times a day for 10 days.
Very good. Right.
And it's supposed to be safe for children, too. Give them half dosage.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got grandkids or anything like that that gets an infection or whatever, it's safe for children. Of course, they always warn you, Dr. Moore warns everybody, you know, if you're pregnant, not to take antibiotics without a physician. So, you know, so yeah. I don't think any of us in this group is going to get pregnant anyway. So I think we're all right.
Yeah, and I'd have a heck of a problem if that ever happened.
Yeah. Well, I'm 70. If I get pregnant, I'll probably commit suicide. But if you read me in the paper, committed suicide, that's the only reason. But got to be exposed on the second run. But that's beside the point. Anyway, like I said, I don't know much about I knew about the ivermectin. I knew nothing about the fenbendazole. I knew nothing about it. So this is something that's going to be great. I'm going to really research that the next couple of days and see if I can get some ordered and get this dog on something to figure out. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really grateful for that Quick RX store. I'm really going to be looking at that. I'm grateful for the sharing of that link.
Well, this is exactly what I hoped would come out of this conference call, because this is all stuff that, you know, they would construe you as giving medical advice if I did it on the radio, but we all, you know, we're all adults here and we all, you know, believe in alternative health. So this was great. All of us coming together on this call.
Well, the other thing is if we've got friends or something, we can help them too.
That's exactly what I was just going to say. I wanted to encourage everybody to spread the word because our culture is in bad shape.
Yes.
Both in terms of, you know, nutrition, which is what leads to a lot of the sickness, and then just how you deal with it when you are sick. So, you know, I've kind of committed myself to becoming almost like a missionary for the subject of fenbendazole and other things. That's why I called Sam and told him about it a couple weeks ago or whenever it was, because getting the word out is really important.
Hey, Eric, I wanted to ask you a question.
Okay.
Is the dog pills just like the human pills or what? Do they taste weird?
Well, I don't know that any of this stuff really tastes great, but and I haven't taken the pills that they give a dog. I wouldn't be afraid to. I had a veterinarian here not terribly long ago, within the last couple of years, tell me that the standards that they use to make veterinary medicine are just as high and in some cases higher than for human use. So
I know dogs take the human type thyroid.
Yeah. I suspect that there's no worry using, well, I've been using the horse wormer, ivermectin, and with no problem at all. So I really believe that there is no worry about, you know, using if all you can get is the stuff from the farm store, so be it. It's probably just plenty good enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think so too, because my husband and I have been taking it prophylactically, although we've sloughed off in the last, in the summer, you know, nobody gets sick. but it has, I mean, completely helped us from getting any kind of flu or anything for years now. And at any time anything would start up, we'd, you know, just dose ourselves and it would be over in, you know, half or a quarter of the time that it would take usually. So the stuff is great. And I really like the thought of it for cancer because I had a lot of family members die from cancer. So that interests me very much that, well, you know, it infuriates me because they've known for a long time that this stuff cures cancer.
Well,
and that can't, yeah.
I was just going to say, one of the comments that was stated to Joe Tippins by the doctor that you'll read about the case study that he was involved in, or the trial. The doctor at the end of it told him that they had known that fenbendazole was effective for cancer for at least 10 years at that point, which was 5 or 6, 7 years ago. So it's been probably approaching 20 years at least that they've known that fenbendazole treated cancer. But obviously they haven't told us about it because that doesn't serve their purpose.
No, I know. Well, I was reading on Twitter the other day and someone said, stop calling them the elite, call them the parasites.
They're parasites.
Yes. And they are refusing, you know, you know, it's just so ironic that these drugs that are for treating parasites also cure cancer, which questions what is cancer now, you know? Really, what is it?
Well, you've probably all heard at some point along the way that there has been a suspicion, at least in people in the medical world that were willing to kind of think outside the box, that cancer was the result of parasitic damage.
Yes.
In some part of our flesh.
Yes, yes.
I don't know that that's been proven, but it is something that people have suspected for a long time. I've heard of it many times over the years, and now that we find out that antiparasitics are curing cancer, it makes me wonder even more if those people were right.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. Well, there's a doctor up in Iowa, has a clinic up in Iowa. She's appeared on several different shows that we carry here, Dr. Lee Merritt.
Mm-hmm.
She has been saying this now for quite a while, that cancer is a parasitic-type disease.
But the elites are the parasitic class.
I wonder if ivermectin would work on them or fenbendazole.
That would be a good thing if it did.
Maybe it would change your brain configuration for a little bit of that.
Well, I was kind of hoping for the tumor shrinkage.
I know.
I'm going to say this tongue in cheek, but since they may not be human, you'd have to give them the dog dose or the serpent something.
Yeah.
They're lizard people is the way I look at it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's a protocol for lizards, but if there is, I'd sort of don't really want to cure them.
Yeah.
They're definitely the serpent from the tree. That's all I can say.
Yes, yes. But no. So many things have come to light in the last since the whole COVID debacle started. I'm a little more sad that not more people have awoken yet. But the grip of the media is still very strong.
Well, you know, it's amazing just the people on the the email list, Gretchen? There's a lot of people I got on my list, you know, other than just you, Cindy, and Gary, and Marty, and of course us two. Nobody else from that list came back when I put out the information. I said, anybody wants the number to the conference bridge, contact me. You guys are the only ones.
I mean, we should just keep it that way for a while.
I agree. I mean, I'm not going to drag anybody. I'm not going to drag them.
Don't beg them.
Right.
Not a dog. You're not a dog in reverse. You're not going to beg them.
Now, is there anybody that's taking fenbendazole as a regular regimen, like ivermectin, like once a week in the group?
Is there anybody
that's taking fenbendazole like ivermectin once a week
as a maintenance?
Yeah, no, I haven't. I recently just bought some fenbendazole. But I haven't taken any, but I did buy some. So I have a little stash.
Right.
I'll say this. If I thought I had cancer, I would definitely start taking it. And I would do some of the protocols, or like the protocols of some of the people that took it every day. I wouldn't go 3 days on, 4 days off, or whatever. I would go every day, but I don't know that it's necessary to take it ahead of time, prophylactically, so to speak. But I don't think it would hurt either. You know, it's kind of one of those decisions that's left up to the individual, I would say.
Yeah.
You might take it in smaller dosages just to get it in your system.
Yeah, that would be reasonable, I would think, too.
Right, right.
Now, when we started next week on the full moon, they said take it 5 days in a row and then stop. And that's your parasite plan. And if you want, you can wait 3 weeks and then do it again, assuming that there may be some eggs in there that will go through their cycle in that time, and then they'll mature, and then that second cycle should wipe them out as well.
Yeah,
5 days, stop, and then 3 weeks, okay, for the eggs.
And we're going to see what's in Vendazole.org prevention protocol.
She's actually looking up a little more information. Hang on a sec, folks.
Yeah, you might want to get a little closer, Kathy, where we can hear you a little better, too.
Well, our computer's 15 feet away, so she's looking, and then she'll come back over here.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
Okay, real good.
If you go to fenbendazole.org, to that dosage calculator,
right,
click for a human and click for parasites, not cancer. And then put your weight in, and most folks will need 222 milligrams. That's the standard dose. If there's a certain weight you get over, and then they will double that, but it'll tell you based on your weight. And then you do take it 5 days in a row, and if you want, then 3 weeks later, you take another 5 days in a row. And that's your parasite your parasite cleanse.
And what was that website again?
Fenbendazole.org. Is that it?
That's correct.
That's FENBINDAZOLE.org.
It's Fenben for short. So it's FENBENDAZOLE.org. Fenbendazole.org.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so waiting for our frost tonight. I need a frost.
Oh, man. We don't have frost yet.
Seasonal allergies, and the fall is the worst for me. And I, when October comes, I pray for a freeze. I mean, I...
Well, as far north as you are, you'll probably get one pretty quick here. You'll get it quicker than we will. In fact, ours isn't supposed to be here until Tuesday night into Wednesday morning, I think, is what they're saying.
I think we're supposed to tonight. I'm not sure. I think it's supposed to get down to 29 tonight. I'm thinking, wow. Thank God. Well, it's going to warm up, but at least it'll get rid of all these whatevers. I take honey and I take all the stuff, but you know, it still gets me. But I've had this ever since I was a child, and it's just driving me nuts. My allergies, my eyes, my nose, you know, the whole works.
Sometimes you just don't get rid of things, do you, Cindy?
I've taken everything under the sun, over the counter and herbally, and I'm still praying for that freeze. That's all there is to it.
Well, you will likely get your wish as far north as you are up there. You're kind of up there in northwest Missouri, I think. So
I'm 15 minutes from Iowa, and I'm 3 hours from Nebraska. So I'm up there. I'm right off of I-35. Bethany's about 170 miles north of Kansas City.
Yep. Yeah, so you are way up there. Yeah.
Yeah. It's all farming community up here. There's not much up here. There really isn't. And but I like it that way.
Oh, I agree with you.
Yeah.
You can use your flamethrower with sheer freedom.
I can do anything I want up here if I really took a notion to it. I mean, you know.
I was going to ask you, did you get your flamethrower for getting rid of snow?
No, I didn't. I chose not to. They were having trouble getting the parts, and I just had them give me my money back. So I think their stuff was coming from China, and the more I got to thinking about it, I thought, well, if something goes wrong with it, you're not going to be able to repair it. So I chose not to do that, but I got propane tanks and I've got a pretty mean brush burner. So that'll work for the snow.
There you go.
Yeah. But I do have a 5.56, so that'll that'll help clear out the neighborhood if I need to.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't know.
And
crazy world.
Yep. Now Gretchen's in the same area code as you are, Eric and Kathy. She's in the same area code. She's down there. You guys know where Clever, Missouri is?
Oh, yeah, we're real close to Clever. We've got a lot of friends down there.
Okay, they're in that area.
Wow, that's where we are, yeah. Yep. Oh.
Back,
and I like my Clever.
I'm in the largest county, but it's only got 8,000 people in the whole county.
Oh, wow, that's not very many people.
Nope, we're the largest landmass in Missouri, county-wise, but we've only got 8,000 people. Now, there's another county in Worth County, which is two counties over from me, and it's got less people for its landmass. I mean, it would be considered the smallest populated county. They all down south is pretty populated.
And I think that's why all the politicians and everything do everything down south, because there's more population down there. And because I couldn't get Bill Eagle up here for nothing. I tried. He said, you know, he said he just didn't have the money to come up here for such a small population.
But on the other hand, hopefully he'll be left alone.
Yeah. Well, my problem is that I cannot give advice to people. All I can, you know, because, you know, they'll get me. The FFA will come and nail me to a cross. So basically what it amounts to is I have to do things like I'm doing with you. Go buy it yourself and make it, you know. And,
yep.
That's what's really sad, because I could have an actual small business. I've got two the old glass gun cabinets, and I've made it with shells, just full of different tinctures and oils and salves and everything else. And I've been known to gift people stuff, you know, to help them out. And then now, next thing I know is like, do you have any more of that? You know, and I, yeah. And but I can't sell it and tell people what it's for.
Yeah, it's disgusting. I mean, so much for living in a free country, right?
Yeah. I mean,
well, to work for a pharmaceutical, and I attended a few FDA, you know, conferences, and, they want tight control over every aspect of healthcare. And they use as their reasoning things that happened, you know, in the 1800s when somebody, you know, made some elixir that poisoned people, you know, and they feel very justified in quote unquote keeping people safe. However, that isn't what's happening anymore. They've become the monsters that
they become the monsters that they claim they want to prevent us from.
Absolutely.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And they've been after herbs and herbal supplements for a long time. They want them bad. They want control over them and regulatory control over them. And,
that's what I say too about all this stuff about quit smoking, don't smoke, and there's something in that tobacco that they want.
Well,
they
tainted the stuff on the store shelves, the stuff that you grow on your own doesn't have the health problems that the store-bought stuff does. I mean, before we had all the store-bought stuff, the Indians used to even smoke the stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
You're going to say something, Eric?
Yeah, two things. I kind of lost track. Who is it that lives in Crane?
And,
or Clever, I mean?
Clever? That's Gretchen. Yeah. Gretchen.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to give you my phone number. If you call me sometime, I'd like to talk to you about some local stuff going on down here.
Okay.
My phone number is 417-366-0999.
Okay.
And
did
then, pardon me?
Yeah.
Did you get the whole number, Gretchen?
I did. I got it 417-366-0999.
Yep.
The other thing I wanted to comment on that last thread that we were talking about, you know, they've said that they've ban things that were harming people, but in most cases they banned things that they said were harming people that actually were helping people, like for instance sarsaparilla or sassafras tea. They made it illegal back in the 1800s, I think, or early 1900s, because they said because it was poisoning people, but the truth is it was actually curing cancer, because it has, I believe it's arsenic in it at a low level, which also is a anti-parasitic. So, you know, when the USDA, FDA, all those entities say that they're doing something for our good, I would I would always question that. I don't believe they ever have done anything for our good.
That's right.
Yes. I will agree with that.
No, they just become some of them lizards that we were talking about a while ago.
I think you have to be a lizard to be adopted into the club, actually. Or
yeah, you do. You must have to do something like that.
No.
Yeah, because there has to be something screwy going on with you before you can get into the club.
Yeah.
No.
I will tell you that sassafras tea, if you can get actual sassafras bark, it opens up your bronchial tubes if you get bronchitis or something like that.
I know. I know it was really good as a tea. You put the roots in water and you boil them for a while. That was really good.
Yeah.
Eric, were you going to say something else?
I was just going to say that I think I'm going to sign off and go eat dinner if nobody has any more questions for me.
You guys have anything else?
No, but thank you. And I'll give you a call. It's a good time.
Yeah, sometime during the day. It's not urgent, but whenever you have a little bit of time.
Thank you, Eric.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Eric.
Good to talk to all you folks.
Thank you very much.
We appreciate all this information.
Yep.
Yeah, hopefully we can spread the message far and wide.
Yep, absolutely.
You bet. All right.
Good All right, you again. Take care. You bet. And
thanks, Eric.
This is exactly what I hoped was going to come out of this phone call. And by the way, he is available for anybody that wants to learn how to do organic farming. Any farmers that want to do it, they can connect with him. Or anybody wants to do it, they can connect with him. And he said he'd be willing to work with them.
Yeah, I have an organic garden, but I mean, it's just a garden, so.
Yeah, I do too. I'd love to get a plan. I want to get more plan and, you know, be able to be a little more self-sufficient. And if he knows how to do that stuff, that would be awesome.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I'm glad we did this, because I wanted to get everybody connected and you guys could exchange phone numbers if you wanted and that kind of thing. And, just stuff that's easier to do here than it is on the radio. And number two, you know, when you do this on the radio, you never know who's going to be listening that wants to make themselves a pain in your butt. So, this way it's a closed environment.
Yeah. Well, Sam, thank you so much for organizing this, because I've learned a whole bunch. And
me too.
And it's always good to learn.
I agree. And anytime we want to do some more of these calls on different subjects, if I stumble onto somebody we can bring up here that might be along the lines of interest to us here on this call, we can certainly do other ones on different things too, you know, because there's several people I'd like to bring up on the radio show and do interviews with. One of them who I know I can get a hold of is Dr. Lee Merritt, because I know Tim Brown over at Sons of Liberty Media knows how to get in touch with her. That'd be kind of neat to bring her up on a closed call like this. And, the sky's the limit of what we could do with this as far as educating ourselves for those that want to be.
Right.
It's really sad that the main people are the same people that are basically on the Missouri Freedom Initiative. I mean, are the only ones that were here tonight.
I agree with you, Cindy. I mean, there's at least 40 people on my list. And you guys, everybody that has checked in here tonight, you, Gretchen, Eric, who was the main speaker
tonight.
And then Gary, and then Marty out in Oakland, California. This is the extent of what I got when I asked for people to contact me if they wanted to be part of the call. And that was it. So I figure, okay, guys, we'll just do our thing and, just be done with it, you know. So, but I was amazed that not more people took an interest.
Yeah, right, right.
I think
we're
so darn busy that, you know, people are just.
But, you know, we can use that as an excuse. But. They do other things. They can do political all day, but they don't want to do any health.
That's true.
And if you don't have good health, you can't do worth a shit on political.
Yes. Yeah.
There is that. I know.
Yeah, I think Sunday night is the perfect time to have it. I mean, there's not a lot going on a Sunday evening. Everybody's getting winding down the weekend and getting ready for the work week. It's usually an open night for pretty much everybody.
Yeah.
Yes.
I agree with you. Well, we'll keep this in mind. I mean, obviously these won't be on a regular basis, but if there's somebody that I have on the radio show, let me just put it this way. If there's somebody I have on the radio show, and you guys are interested in convening a private conference, and we can get that guest up here, let's do it.
Sounds okay. Good.
Yeah.
Sounds real good.
Yeah, I've got this conference bridge here. It's part of the account that is with the Missouri Liberty Radio phone account, so we may as well use the thing. And everybody's got a phone, and I don't have to worry about Skype or and Zoom and all these things needing updates all the time.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it's, you know, and Team Talk has its place too, but the problem with getting everybody on Team Talk is it's a little tricky to set up, and you got to have the bandwidth for it. If you don't have a lot of bandwidth.
That's a heck of it. And a phone, anybody can work a damn phone.
That's it. So, I mean, if you can dial a call and a pin, that's all
you
need.
Right.
That's why I kind of like doing it the way we did it, because it kind of keeps it simple. So, but anyway,
keep it short and simple.
Yeah. I appreciate your help on the antibiotic protocols there, Cindy.
You said when you called me, you caught me off guard. And I thought, well, astragalus is a good antibiotic for just, you know, a basic antibiotic. And then I got to thinking, well, they were putting him on strong antibiotics. So I need to go look those up. And like I said, I've got the medical records of Michael Moore, the herbalist that died in the 90s.
Yeah.
And at one time, he was the number one in the world on herbs. And I started going down all of it, and it's hard to read if you haven't been trained. And I sat there and went through, and he said, anyway, finally I found both viral and bacterial antibiotics. And of course, he gave different ones that are from Africa and Netherlands and everything else. And I needed something from the United States. So I'm sitting there going down the line, and I come up with this one. And he said it is more potent than penicillin.
Wow.
But it also got, not amoxicillin, I'm saying penicillin.
Right.
But it is, it does not mess with your internal bacteria, your good bacteria in your gut.
Gotcha.
And it's something that you could take, you know, for the 10 days, and if it's not clearing up, take it another 10 days. It's not going to screw you up.
Right.
And I mean, of course, everybody becomes antibiotic resistant if you start taking something over and over and over and over, and because your body starts getting accustomed to it.
Yeah.
So that's the problem, is they have given antibiotics to people so much for minor things that you can fight off, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
That your body should be able to fight off, that the human body has become antibiotic resistant.
Yeah.
And there's a book out that's called, it's from Stephen Harrod, and I've got it. And it's an antibiotic book for people that are resistant to regular antibiotics.
Gotcha.
And I've read a lot of it. Astragalus is one of them, and that was the first one that was easy for me to come up with real quick. But there's a lot of stuff, but a lot of it is not grown here. I'm going to try, God forbid, to see if I can find some foreign people to ship me some stuff. I don't know if it'll get radiated or not.
Yeah.
But if I can get somebody to send me some seeds or something, that, because I got Eyebright from England, and it was in a seed packet. It's grown over in England, and they did not radiate it, and it grew. And Eyebright is an eye wash, is what it is. If you get a, you know, sand in your eyes or something like that, it's a really good eye wash. Maybe why they didn't radiate it, I don't know. But anyway, I'm going to see if I can get a hold of some herbalists overseas and see if there's any way I can commandeer black market or something, some seeds of different things that would be beneficial here.
Yeah.
And see if I can grow it. And, you know, if I can't grow it, I can't. But if I can, then I'm going to try. And if nothing else, I can spread it around our own little group.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we get from China, seeds that we get from China that are legal. And that's why I can't understand, if you can get stuff from China legally, why can't you get it from Africa legally? I mean, you know.
Yeah, none of this stuff makes any sense.
Czechoslovakia or whatever, you know.
No, I know.
Like, why? And, yeah, the United States is kind of a screwed up mess.
It is. I mean, and the
I know
is,
that Japanese knotweed is considered invasive. But if you're growing in a pot,
you have enough sense to know that when it's going to take something over. It's like garlic. If you plant garlic with flowers, it's going to take over.
So basically what you do is you grow it in a 5-gallon bucket somewhere, and you know, save your seeds and replant it the next year. I mean, you don't spread it out in the field somewhere.
No.
So,
you grow it separate.
So, I don't know. Like I said, I guess they don't think people are going to be responsible enough for that. So, I've got to make...
felt like we're stupid, Cindy.
I know it. But I can grow that. I can do it just like you. Grow your marijuana. Grow it in my greenhouse.
Mm-hmm.
See what I can come up with. But
yeah.
Anyway, I got my dog in his cone of shame is wanting in. I've got to go radio, man.
Well, it's all right. This has been Did you want to? Did we want? Are we all done here, or what do we want to do, guys? You got anything else?
Can you just tell me Eric's last name? So when I call him,
Vimont. Vimont. V-I-M-O-N-T.
Okay, thank you. And what his wife's name was Kathy, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very nice people, and you guys probably learn a lot from them because he's into organic farming. By the way, he does sell raw milk when he has it available.
Yeah, he does.
Nice, because I'm just my source for goat milk it's dried up for the season, so I have some frozen, but my cow milk person is a little out of it too, so maybe Eric has some, I can get some from him.
Yeah,
that's great.
I don't have anybody up here that sells it anymore. When we had the dairy farms up here. Of course, they're all out of business now, but back when they shut them all down, but we got some Amish, and I need to go talk to my Amish community and see if I can get into raw cow's milk again.
That would be good. Oh, Sam wants to get some raw milk.
I got to find out what the closest Amish community is to here where we are, too. I know one friend of ours that might be able to tell me, because that might be one place to get it. I mean, if we just find them close enough here.
Well, the problem is they're so scared to sell it to you. But I'm really thick with the lady at the Amish store. So I think if I talk to Polly... And Herb, her husband, they might get the word that I'm okay. I'm not going to turn them in.
Right.
I mean, that's the problem that they're scared of up here, mm-hmm. is that they get caught selling it, or even giving it away, they're afraid somebody's going to come and arrest them.
Yeah. That's why we need to pursue what we were trying to do at one point. We need a good food freedom bill passed in the state of Missouri here, at least, or we can get the state. I mean, it's going to be an uphill fight because you got the milk board and all that stuff. But, if there was an outcry enough, I don't see why it couldn't be done.
And you're doing it at your own risk. Nobody's putting a gun to your head and making you buy it.
That's right.
I mean, that's the whole thing. That's what makes me so mad.
Really?
They'll let the Amish sell bread, homemade bread, out here on, to the public. But they won't let them sell raw milk, raw cow's milk up here. And I don't know what the deal is with that. The USDA, I guess, got all over them and everything.
Well, tell them you got a pet. They'll let you sell it for your pets.
Well, I'm not going to tell the Amish that. I don't lie to them.
No, I mean, that's what you
could do. I'm just going to go and buy it myself. I'll pay them for it.
Yeah.
And walk away, and I just won't tell anybody. I mean, that's
there you go.
The way it is. I mean, it's sad up here. I mean, I never saw anything like it. But
well,
I was a lot healthier when I was drinking raw cow's milk since I've been drinking. Because I used to drink it all the time before they started cracking down on it.
Yeah.
I know. I drank it like it was going out of style. Eric was one of the farmers that brought it to our Bible study that we had down that way. And Bible conference, rather. And I was drinking that stuff like it was going out of style.
I know. And it's not, if you're lactose intolerant, it doesn't screw your stomach up. It's just a whole different ballgame.
It is.
Yes. Yes.
And, they try to tell you that milk's bad for you, and I'm thinking, no,
pasteurized milk's bad for you.
That's right.
It's just because it lasts longer, you know. Well, freeze it, unthaw it, and, you know, whatever. Well, I don't know. Strange world. And, you know, a lot of them will make, you know, the dairy farmer I used to buy from back in the 80s, early 90s, before they shut him down, he had a setup where he had a refrigerator. And you took your own half-gallon jugs, and they had to be glass. So yeah. I used half-gallon mason jars. You had to sterilize your own jar, put your name on it, and everything. And he'd fill them up and put them in the refrigerator if you weren't right there when he was milking. And he put it in the refrigerator, and he had a little cardboard box in the door, and you just donated whatever you thought it was worth. Well, I always paid whatever a gallon of milk was, you know. I'd give him two half-gallon jars and pay him whatever a gallon of milk was, you know. It was not a big deal.
Wow. Well, listen, guys, I'm going to hang up. But I thank you again. I've learned a lot, and I really appreciate, Sam, this phone call. I got to go back and listen to your Wednesday show now. I was at church on Wednesday night. My pastor, for some reason, wants me at church.
Yeah, it was a good show. We started out with Eric, and then we... And go ahead, Cindy. You were going to say something?
I was going to say, Sam, you may want to move back to Sundays instead of Wednesdays. I mean, I realize it's nice for you to have your weekends, but I think less people are listening.
That's what I kind of wondered, because I'm not getting the traffic that I normally did. I thought it was going to work out, but maybe Sunday nights might be the thing we may have to go back to doing. I mean, it's no problem for me. I mean, now, in this case, with me being on Wednesdays, made Sunday available for what we're doing here, but we could always pick another day for if we had some conference calls that we wanted to do. It just depends on what day we could all be available.
Well, I was going to say Thursdays are dead for me. So, I mean, you know, I don't know how other people are, but I don't have much going on Thursdays.
Yeah, okay. How about you, Gary?
Yeah, Thursday's wide open for me, too.
Okay.
Okay.
And then I can talk to Gretchen later on, I assume.
I'm still on. I'm
oh, you're still on.
Thursdays are usually okay for me, too.
Okay, so
Wednesdays are hard because, like I said, my pastor, you know, if we aren't there, it's, you know, he really likes to see us in church. So.
Well, let me ask you this.
I can listen. Yeah.
He who speaks up gets the bait. So are we all in agreement here maybe to move the show back to Sunday nights?
I'm good with that.
I think that would probably be best for you and the main public. Sundays, the only problem is my Sunday evenings are normally, it's not tonight, but normally I start my canning on Sundays. And, of course, it's deer season right now, bow season up here. And if we get deer, I'm canning venison, so... but it doesn't interrupt me. I mean, I can still listen. I just can't call in sometimes.
Right. No, I get it. Well, good.
No, I mean, Sundays are really good for me because it's usually where I can just relax and look forward to your show, which is what I'd gotten in the habit of doing that. And then we moved it to Wednesdays. And at that point, my pastor had started really coming down on us because we hadn't been going to Wednesday services. So now he's got us in the habit. And
Yeah, well, we can.
Yeah, and I need to probably go back to Bible study myself, but I haven't because of the Wednesday show here. So,
yeah, well, I can certainly let's do that then. This Wednesday, I'll just put out the announcement, and then what we'll do is starting this Sunday evening. We could go ahead and start doing it. The only reason I moved it in the first place was because of that problem we had with booking Alex Newman. And I thought, well, maybe if we did it during the week, I might have more success.
Alex Newman worked around it. He worked around
it. I know, he did. I understand. But some people, you know, some people have church services on Sunday night, too. There's really no real good night, to be honest with you. Sunday nights are probably the best, though, out of all of it, I guess.
For our crowd, I think.
That or Mondays. I mean, but the thing is Monday, everybody that's working is going back to work, and that's really tough on them.
Yeah, and I usually attend the city council meetings every other Monday.
Yeah. If we had a show Monday, I wouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah. But, no, I mean...
I'm going to hang up. So thanks again, guys, and I know we'll talk soon. Really good to meet those of you that I hadn't met before, and to talk to Voodoo again. And thanks, Sam and Trish.
Oh, you bet. Welcome. You too, Gretchen. God bless you. And Gary, thanks for coming aboard.
Yeah, sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and Gary, you are in our prayers. Whether anybody says anything, you are in our prayers.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that.
How is Rebecca?
She's still working a lot of hours, and she's working so many hours, she really doesn't have time to mourn her sister's passing. It's kind of crazy around here. So,
that's a shame. Yeah. What did the meeting prove on getting her some help?
They're working on it, and it's coming around. Probably within the next 2 weeks, she'll be slowing down. They're going to try to get her some help.
Good.
Yeah. Well, okay. Good deal. No, we'll keep you in our prayers as well, Gary, and because man, you guys have been through a lot, and I mean, man.
Yeah, appreciate it.
You bet. And so, Marty, thanks for checking in tonight.
I wanted to ask, has anybody, I don't know how often you've done the conference, but in the middle of this one, all of a sudden, the audio got cut off, but it didn't hang up. So if you're wondering what that beep was in the middle, you know, when I came back, that was me coming back in.
Yeah, it was a voice over IP problem that you had on your end. No, normally, no, this is the first. The only other conferences we've done other than this was when we had, what was it we did here, Rob, back, Trish, you
the
might
school
remember.
School bond issue.
School bond conferences. Regarding the local school bond issue here in Owensville.
Forget that.
But other than that, that's it. And we might be fighting another one of them again in this year, too. But anyway, no, that's fine. I mean, if you need to reconnect, you need to reconnect. But that's usually a voice over IP problem when that happens. You wind up with a one-way connection. And sometimes it can be you can hear and people can't hear you or vice versa. But usually I've never had any trouble. And, anyway, but no, we didn't have any other issues here other than yourself. So it was good. You dial back in. So anyway, all right, everybody have a blessed week. And, I'll go ahead and announce, Wednesday about moving the show back to Sunday night. So starting next Sunday, we will open it back up on Sunday evenings like we used to do to get Charlie to change the information on the website. That's not a big problem. And it's good to move it back to Sundays because I don't have to do a whole lot to change automation either so that the system will know what we're doing. So anyway, so yeah, we'll just move it back to Sunday night and I'll put out the announcement and get everybody back on board. So, all right, you guys have a blessed week coming up here. And like I say, we'll do this one show Wednesday night. I've got a very, very interesting piece. Marty, you probably heard it, but the rest of you haven't. But it's a very, very interesting piece from Pastor Chuck Baldwin out in Montana that I'm going to play. His sermon this morning blew it out of the park. First of all, he had some surgery, and whatever surgery it was on his throat or something, they damaged one of his vocal cords, so he hadn't been able to talk.
With intubation tube.
Yeah, that tube, you know, they put down your throat when they're doing surgery. Well, somehow they injured one of his vocal cords, and today was the first time he's been back in about 15 Sundays. And he can barely talk, but you know what? Even though he had trouble talking, he spent over 45 minutes delivering a sermon. It was good. And it was so good.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'll play it on this Wednesday night's broadcast. And then Sunday night we'll go back to our regular schedule and we'll, you know, do our normal thing like, well, it won't be any different. I mean, we'll just be on Sunday night. So anyway, all right, guys, have a blessed evening and we will talk on Wednesday night, if not sooner.
Sounds good. Thanks, all.
All right.
Night, guys.
Good night.
Good night.
Mm-hmm.